Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app. And of course, you can always find us too on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. But don't forget to watch us. So we are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. Now, school may have been out for summer for some time, but our guest today is still riding high on ranking 8th in the world the DECA professional selling event that happened back during his senior year at Tupelo High School. Joining us is Connor O'Daniel to tell us a little bit more. Hey, Connor.
Hey, Miss Rebecca. How are you doing?
Congratulations on graduating and congratulations on ranking in the top 10 for the second time in a row, as I have learned. So you're pretty good at this.
I am. Thank you so much. It's awesome that I've been able to do it. You know, 2 years in a row, I didn't know what I was getting into. I'm really happy about it.
So let's talk about it. Did I say it right? I know it stands for something. I'm going to ask you what DECA stands for, but is that how people call it for short, DECA?
Yeah, so right now it's called DECA, and it used to stand for, I believe it was Distributive Education Clubs of America, but it does not go by that anymore, and I'm not really sure why.
So it just goes, but so folks listening to Good Things, Connor, if they've got DECA clubs in their kid's school or did one, they know exactly what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, most people who are in public schools and maybe even universities and colleges should know what DECA is. It's been around for decades. And I personally didn't know what it was until I joined it, but I'm really glad that I did.
So explain it to us. If someone listening had never heard of it, or maybe it's been a while since they had a kiddo in school, what is the DECA Club? What is your guys' purpose or, I guess, organization sort of do?
Yeah, so DECA is an awesome organization that exists all throughout the United States and a lot of public schools and colleges. It also exists in Canada and a lot of different countries throughout the world. But students are able to join the club, DECA, and basically what you do is you dress up in professional, you know, suits or in blazers and khakis and things like that, and you get a topic, and you go and present to a judge, and they have different competitions. So you start off at the district competition, and then you go to the state competition, and then you go to the international competition. And so this year, the international competition was in Anaheim, California, and I met people from all different states and different countries even. And I've even made a few friends. I've made a friend from Montana through DECA, which is really awesome. But the point of DECA is to prepare students for the outside real world after they graduate high school and after they graduate college. And so students are prepared and know how to go into interviews and do resumes and you know, just work with other people in a professional environment.
Which you think all high school students should be learning. They shouldn't have to take a club to do that, but I'm glad it's out there. What made you interested in it, Connor? What was it about it once you learned maybe what DECA was there at Tupelo High, which where you just graduated, that kind of got you interested in joining?
Yeah, so I actually had no clue what DECA was. And so I was in a marketing class, and in order to join DECA, you had to be a part of that marketing class. And our teacher was talking to us about DECA. And she was saying that we should join it, and I had no clue what it was, and I really wasn't planning on joining it. and I was convinced to join it, and I didn't really know what I was getting into, but the more and more I learned about it, and more work that I did for it and figured out about DECA, the more I loved it, and I'm really glad that I've been able to do it, and I stuck with it the sophomore year, and then I went and did it junior year, and then I did it this last senior year, and I'm glad I was able to go off with a bang, I guess.
You did. You got top 10 twice. I think you came away eighth this year in the international, and then was it sixth, your highest placement, your junior, or was that your sophomore year, Connor?
Yeah, I placed sixth my junior year and eighth this past senior year.
So you did that through, and I'm learning as we're going, Connor, but through like a selling event. So walk us through at least this last year. What were you like trying to sell, and sort of how do you compete in that?
Yeah, so in DECA, there are over 20 different events that you can choose from, and I chose the professional selling event. There's really no reason behind that when I first chose it, but I'm like I said, I'm glad that I stuck with it. But the professional selling event has a different prompt each year. And so this year, the prompt was to sell a digital marketing service to a local boutique. And so the judge, whom I'm presenting to, acts as if they are the owner of a local boutique, and I'm trying to sell them a digital marketing service that will boost their online sales and boost how many people visit their social media channels and things like that.
Pretty cool. Did they sell? Did you buy? I know you don't have to convince them to sign the paper, I guess, theoretically, to win. But did your judge, did you make the sale to get in the top 10?
I did, actually. Usually, when I do this type of event, the judge that I'm selling to, they will not sign the paper. I don't know if it's because they're not allowed to or whatever it might be. But this past year, I actually had the judge sign the paper and go along with the deal, which I think helped me advance in the competition this year.
How do you prepare for this, Connor? Do you go around and try to sell, like, the chocolate candies from high school to your, door-to-door? Or are you hitting up, Girl Scouts to see what their secrets are to get the cookies, sold? Like, how do you prepare for this?
Well, that would definitely be one way that you could do it. But the way that I did it is I went online and I looked at companies who are already doing, sort of something that goes along the lines of what my event is. And so I found a business or a company online that already sells digital marketing services to different businesses and companies and organizations. And I looked at their information, and I tried to not so much copy it, but be inspired by what they had on their website and understand how businesses that already exist perform in this way. Because I feel like a lot of people who do DECA think that they, have to sort of make up things from scratch. But really what it is it's things that already exist, and you're just sort of taking information from what already exists and trying to do it in your own way.
No reason to reinvent the wheel, Connor. No reason at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now that you've graduated Tupelo High, again, congratulations. What's next for you? What's on the path? Are you going to still pursue business and selling and marketing, or are you taking a twist?
Well, I definitely have found a love for business and marketing throughout my time in my marketing class and throughout my time being in DECA. So in the fall, I will be attending ICC, Itawamba Community College, in Fulton, and I'm going to be majoring in marketing. And my roommate actually is a friend that I met through DECA, and we're both majoring in marketing. And I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to see where it'll take me.
Would you encourage parents listening to Good Things or students to get involved with DECA in their high school, or to encourage their students to get involved?
Yeah, I really, like I said, I didn't know what DECA was at all. But being in it for 3 years, it has helped me in tremendous ways that I didn't even realize. I've been able to, go along and formulate conversations and sentences with people in a professional way. I've been able to understand how to keep up my professional look and when I'm in that professional environment. But I really would encourage students to join DECA because it's a sort of a step into the real world before you're actually into the real world. And it really has benefited me in so many ways that I can't even comprehend. So I would recommend any student who's maybe just now going into high school or just now learning about what DECA is to join it while they still can.
Well, I love that. Again, congratulations, Connor. Enjoy your next chapter of life. I know there's nothing but good things coming after you. And yes, keep in touch, man. If you start doing, making big sales and making big waves, you're always welcome back.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All righty, you guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
From the
making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
I'm a scat man.
Welcome back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. Hope you know you can always find us too on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. Don't forget to watch us either. We're on your computer or your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. Every time you do that, Rhino, I do my best in my head to keep up with him. Maybe in another life, if this doesn't radio didn't work out, I'll be a...
I always chuckle a little bit when I play that because that is from a list of songs that I added very early on in my days on the radio. And the genesis for that list of songs was a list of ringtones I had made out of music back in college. I figured if people wanted me to make the songs into ringtones, then they must be popular songs.
So were you that guy?
Oh, yeah.
You were that guy. That ages you and me as well. If you had ringtones that you actually cared about, then now it's just photos because nobody actually has their phone ring anymore. If you do, then you're in the minority.
And it's a totally different world from the people that bought ringtones. Like that's a whole different kettle of fish than the people that, hey, I got a guy, I know a guy, I was the guy that would make them for a much smaller charge or free if we were friends.
You must have also been the guy who did the mixtapes or the mix CDs. Did you burn CDs?
Never got into that because I felt like a ringtone, the music industry doesn't really give a rip about the penny they lost on that ringtone.
But
I started making mix CDs. They're gonna get really upset with me.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But I start making them for profit.
I could see that. I could see that for sure. But we all had a guy. Isn't that funny? Like, we all had a guy. But also, when you talk about music, I have a friend who sent me this screenshot the other day, or I guess she took a picture of her Sirius FM radio, and she's like, oh my gosh, I feel so old. I am 40 years old. I'm listening to the oldie station on her whatever radio, and Blink 182 shows up. And she's like, how did they get on the oldie station? And I don't know if it was, because oldies mean something different to everyone listening, right? Like, to you, oldies is going to be whatever was oldies when you were a kid or whatever it may be. But at some point, if you live long enough, the music that you enjoyed in your 20s or teens and 20s, eventually that's going to become the stuff that you hear when you're in the grocery store aisle and it's what's playing over the intercom versus, what you're hearing out in the club or in the car or what's the new hot beat or whatever it may be. And I think we all have that moment when it comes to music, even with your kids. I remember the first time, it wasn't Usher. I know he did halftime show, and that was a whole lot of fun too. Like, oh, Mom, you know him? No, I don't know him, sweetheart. Like, I know him. Like, I know him from, you know, like, but I don't like.
I have heard these songs.
I've heard these songs, right? To which then your kid's like, you know this? And it's because, you know, they don't, or whatever it may be, that you feel pretty old, or you know you have aged out. Like, you're, when you peaked in music in terms of like what was cool and trendy, it has now in the valley. It's no longer considered like the whatever it may be. You don't have children, Rhino, but like with your wonder nieces and ninja nephews and all of them, have you had that moment where it's like, man, I'm old? Like in music, like, terms.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've had several discussions. I actually remember vividly a discussion. Well, it wasn't so much a discussion. It was just me saying, your music's awful. Because we were sitting around a little fire pit making s'mores, and they were playing, I don't even know who it was. It was something awful. And I was like, this is not music. This is noise. And it's not even on beat.
Do you introduce them to the things that you enjoyed?
Oh, yeah. I started rattling off a bunch of names, and I was like, who's that? And I was like, all right, we're playing it. And I'd pull up something. I was like, this is music. Stop. This is music.
So my husband, if music is on in his, well, there's a collection. But if country music is on, it's always on, like, the true oldie station. We're talking about 90s would be the oldest that would be played on the oldie station that he prefers. And so Neely has just grown up hearing all the greats, all the things, all whatever. So she's very aware of, like, that kind of oldies. But when it comes to maybe more, like, rap or alternative, or, like, that was Mom's jam back in the day, she's like, what is this garbage, Mother? And I'm like, what? This is great. This is, they don't make it like this anymore, is what I think many of us have probably said. Jeff in Pontotoc said, why is Bach and Beethoven not played in the oldies station?
Well, it's because I think technically the labels, they used to mean something, but now because the labels have been used for so long and there hasn't been any innovation in the labeling of music, really, in the better part of a couple decades now, the labels have, the lines have gotten blurred a little bit. Because oldies, for us, and I believe for the majority of the time, oldies was a term. The music was 1930s up to 1970.
Okay.
It wasn't until the turn of the millennium that you started having 70s music included as oldies.
So like in the 2000s.
And yeah, so it feels like that's kind of where the lines started blurring, because you had oldies and then you had classic hits.
Maybe it's
and
classic.
And oldies were the and then you had classic hits that actually had like electric instruments and stuff like that. Now, oldies seems to include anything from
the '80s,
19-teens, yeah, all the way up to early '90s, mid '90s.
But that would be kind
Whereas
of on
I think
point.
There's a big chunk of that should be considered classic hits.
Correct. But if it's following sort of the trend that you were saying, like every 30 years, I mean, we're right at 25. So, I mean, I know that's still 5 years off from 2030. But like but some of your early 90s would be 30 years old. Anytime you see those things that take like the distance between now and 2000, like, just think, I think it was like what? The distance between 1950 and 1975 is the same as the distance between 2000 and, you know, you think, oh my gosh, it hits different when it's you. When it's in, I know those of you that have lived longer than Rhino and I, you're laughing. You're like, you just wait. You know, you just wait until it's a couple of decades.
I'm sure I offended somebody with my
No, that's okay. David said,
we listened to it on a phonograph. We were happy.
Well, I'm happy you're still with us listening to good things, because that was a few decades ago. Listening to Collective Soul with my son, and he said I was vintage. No, I'm not vintage. I am the original, that said David, in that way. But yeah, so nothing will age you quicker than a hit coming on. I love it now because our hits come on in the grocery store like over the loud, like that was just insane to me that that's what's playing. Like even like Britney Spears, some of her original whatever will come on, and I'll have to stop. Oops, and you know she's like stop, mom. I'm like, oh no, we are totally going down the produce aisle. Sing it, do it again. And I think that's what they know. They know that now these are the parents that are in here shopping. And so this is, they're giving you the opportunity to absolutely embarrass the, you know what, out of the preteens and the, you know, I don't think teenagers are really shopping with parents very much anymore, but the preteens for sure.
I mean, you're just making up for all the lost time that technology has taken away from you. Like, you don't have giant photo albums full of baby pictures that you would pull out when mm-hmm. when your daughters bring friends over and like, hey, come look at these. I was just organizing them. And you just embarrassed the heck out of them with those.
That is a shame. I did. I pulled out for Father's Day. I was looking for a particular photo of my dad. And I pulled out a whole thing. And there was all these like just random photos that you would go and get developed. Because, I mean, you would – and they're like, these aren't – I guess they didn't use the word flattering, but that she was like, mom, some of these are, you know, what's this photo about? I'm like, you didn't know what you were taking a picture of. You just hoped it turned out okay. You pointed the camera. You clicked. You did it and kept going until it said you have no more pictures left. And then you took it to somewhere and you dropped it off and you had to wait until they developed them. And then you went back with all excitement and anticipation and you opened up the little folder and you would thumb through it and you just hoped to God that there was like – one or two photos that actually everybody was looking at the camera and nobody looked weird and there wasn't like the weird shiny thingy or whatever over it, that you blurry thing that couldn't see it.
Yeah, it would blow the younger generation's mind that we paid extra so we could get it
faster,
quicker.
In an hour. Absolutely. And then there's no telling how many at the Walgreens or the what was the other one that was the drugstore that was around, at least in Mississippi, that Super D's, all the things where photos never made it out. They went straight in the little trash can that was right there at the photo thing. You just thumb through it and you're like, Absolutely. Actually, let me rip that one and then put that one in the trash. And thank you. I appreciate your time. All right. I appreciate your time. Stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Becca Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live always over at supertalk.fm. If you have downloaded that Supertalk Mississippi app, you can stream us live from there. We're always on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, but don't forget to watch us. So we are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. We got one student from high school up to some good things. Now we got one in college doing some good stuff too. We've got Elijah. He's a doctoral candidate at the University of Mississippi. He was just named the 2024 Newman Civic Fellow. So welcome, Elijah.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Today is the day, I told Rhino, of students doing more in their educational career than I ever did. So congratulations.
I appreciate that.
No, I love this. Okay, so give us a little background for those who may not be aware of the Newman Civic Fellow. Kind of what is it and what you get to do with it?
Yeah, so it's a civic fellowship, and I was nominated by Chancellor Glenn Boyce. And we're all meeting in Chicago to just discuss different ways to get involved with the community, exchange ideas, get involved in projects, and hopefully bring that knowledge back to Mississippi to just keep contributing to people around Oxford and the whole state.
Which I know that you've done a really good job there in Oxford, connecting with the community on a lot of different levels, particularly with the psychological services there on the campus of University of Mississippi. How did you get connected with that?
So it's part of our placement. So we all do therapy through there and different community projects. And definitely just didn't want it to be where this knowledge stays in the university and nobody around benefits from it. We did a lot of outreach to just help people who might have conditions or different things they're dealing with that don't know help is available, giving them that information. And so then they just have a lot more tools to deal with it in their daily life. And it's just incredible seeing what people can do over 6 weeks, 8 weeks, when they've been dealing with these things maybe their whole lives, and they just didn't know good services were available through the university.
I know one of the things you're interested in and work on is organizing free chronic pain clinics in the community, and that might not be what people think that it is when you hear a pain clinic. So how's that a little different? How are you helping folks who may not recognize that there are certain services that can help that's not just writing prescriptions for things or what you typically think of when you think of a pain clinic?
Well, people tend to have a really biological view of pain. They say, okay, it's part of me, my DNA, it's this condition. They don't really recognize the behavioral ways they can fight it, that they can do things about it. People don't want to be in pain, absolutely not. And so they go for the medications, it works, sometimes it only works a bit, and they think, okay, I'll just keep trying to fight forward with it, just keep trying to deal with it. They don't know just how much they can be capable of just through things backed by science, through psychological science, behavioral science. So them getting that information and saying, okay, I don't have to wake up just in pain every single day, it's fantastic. And I'm actually someone who does deal with chronic pain because I was in a car accident, which is how I really got into this. I was lucky enough to receive services and just don't want people to go through what I did. So just wanted to make sure they know everything they can.
I read, too, Elijah, where you talked about we spend, I guess, in terms of healthcare, I'm a dietitian by trade, years learning all of these really specific ways of understanding things and then having a really hard time maybe communicating it to the public. And I was like, yes! Yes.
Yeah.
Say it louder for the people in the back, because it does feel sometimes hard when you have your healthcare professionals who are trying to get something, you know, across, but maybe they don't know how to say it in a way that's best received by the person on the other side. So, you know, how in the work that you're doing or the research or through your fellowship, how can we break down some of that? How can we make some of the things that we want folks to better understand the great information we have, but in a way that, you know, better resonates with them?
Really, first and foremost, you just got to spend time in the community among the people, learning how they talk about things they deal with, how they view a lot of these conditions. It's a lot of work we do through my nice lab at the university is where if you want to work with the population, you have to go be among them as much as possible, because otherwise you could be trying to tell them something just about science. You might as well be saying it in Mandarin. You could be saying it in Thai or Japanese, unless you don't actually know how they view these, what's it presents as for them, then you can't really cater that language, because all that knowledge only rests with us if we say it in the words that we've discovered it as. But really, you have to meet people where they're at. And as soon as you do, you can kind of see a light go off in their eyes where they're like, wow, okay, why didn't you just say that a day ago, a week ago? And so just meeting with them as people and not as patients or subjects or problems to be fixed, but genuine people who do want to understand, just use everyday words. Don't be saying something that's only found in the textbook.
I couldn't agree more, but also seeing both sides of it, Elijah, I understand how good that work is to sort of also, you know, it's not just teach the public how to like hear it better. It's also teaching healthcare providers how to say it differently. I think the learning goes sort of on both sides on that fence for sure. You also have collaborations with the Delta Autumn Consulting and the there on the campus, the graduate school. You're organizing these digital mental health training workshops. That's interesting. So tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, so for that, because there has been a lot of people in rural areas around Mississippi who just don't have access to good psychological services throughout in the Delta, rural areas, some remote areas where there aren't big universities like Oxford there. And for a long time, they just haven't had access to those services. But because of a lot of this broadband expansion, a lot of the state's efforts to digitize rural areas to bring more access, all of a sudden they can be at home, they can be in their areas and still just access those services through telehealth. But the providers coming out of the university, this university, Mississippi State, put the rivalries aside to kind of serve the people, they got to know how to deliver those digital mental health services. So that's what we're pretty big on, just using technology like sessions, something where it makes it easy for the provider to deliver that service, but it's also easy for the person to receive it, because even if you do have access to technology, I'll just be honest, technology can be scary sometimes. You got to have the training on how to use it, and so that it's not an extra burden on top of all the effort and energy you're putting into therapy itself.
Pretty cool. Okay, Elijah, you mentioned with the Newman Civic Fellow, you get to go to, as a Newman Civic Fellow, excuse me, you get to go to Chicago. Yeah. Have you been? When are you going? Or which one is it? Have you been or are you headed there?
I'll be going in late October. So just around the time for Halloween. So I should pick out a costume.
You should. That'll be a lot of fun. What experience do you hope to gain from that?
I'd say really just a lot more on the digital part of it, because technology is advancing at a scary pace, incredibly fast. So learning how other people have leveraged technology, social media, communications to reach people. There's only so much we can do to reach people face-to-face, over email, things like that. Having a larger scale for it, I think, could allow us to distribute our services in a better way, more efficient way, and hopefully in a more helpful way for Mississippi.
So do you feel like the future's looking bright for digital services, at least in terms of healthcare, if handled appropriately for our state?
Yeah, bright as a Nova Sun. I think technology can really bring Mississippi to the forefront if we keep using it right.
Well, I look forward to seeing what you learned there in Chicago in November. Again, congratulations. I think you were the second there at Ole Miss to receive the Newman Civic Fellow. How many of you total is there?
So for the total fellowship, I think there's 147. I don't know of anyone else from the Mississippi universities who is going.
Well, congratulations, and you keep doing that good work in your communities, and who knows, I may be knocking on your door and be like, help me talk to people.
Well, I'll be there to see you.
All righty. Well, I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All righty. Pretty cool stuff. I love that. I love hearing, too, that Mississippi could be on the forefront when it comes to digital service, particularly when it comes to healthcare. I know that we really shined when, I know y'all guys don't like to hear the word pandemic, but we already had so many telehealth, programs already set up and throughout the state that we really kind of rose to the forefront on that, helping other states sort of do that and sort of just seeing that continue to grow. I know telehealth or digital health care services can't take the place of everything when it comes to healthcare, but man, it really can help with those follow-up appointments, those quick check-ins, particularly for parents and pediatricians as well. You all know how it is. If you can, you know, not every episode requires an in-person visit, and so to be able to have that technology, I think, is definitely a good thing. But you have to be able to use it and communicate to it in that way. But I also loved what he was saying too, Rhino. Sometimes I feel like I don't know how else to say eat your vegetables. So if there is a special way to say it that you will take it to heart, then man, I am here for it. And if I have to learn Mandarin Chinese to get you to do that, then I guess I would. I wonder what eat your vegetables in Mandarin would sound like.
I mean, we could ask the Google box.
Oh, well, let's use technology to find out what that would. I'm going to 100% assume that it will not be anything that I could actually get out. But I'm sure Jeff in Oxford would love it if I gave it a good try. Can you hear it?
吃你的蔬菜.
Okay, do it again.
吃你的蔬菜.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try it. Absolutely not. So that was eat your vegetables in Mandarin Chinese?
Yep.
So the thing is, if I tried that, because the way their dialects and things work, there's no telling what, you know, obscene thing would probably fly out of my mouth that I had no idea, and then I'd get in trouble. So we're just not even going to try that. But I need that as a ringtone. I want that. If you have me in your phone, every time it rings, I call or text, I want that to come out.
吃你的蔬菜.
To remind you to eat your vegetables. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
I got my phone now, baby. Woo!
good things. Don't forget we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. And if you are ready to embark on a new career journey, then the Millions Dollar Job Fair is tomorrow at Edgewater Mall in Biloxi. Whether you're looking to start fresh or take the next big step in your career, we've got something for everyone. So don't miss out. See you there. That's the Million Dollar Job Fair at Edgewater Mall in Biloxi from 10 to 2 p.m. coming up tomorrow. Now, coming up Friday, you got Sports Talk Mississippi, which is coming up next after Good Things. They are broadcasting live from the PTG Outdoors on Lakeland Drive in Grenada. PTG carries boats as authorized Mercury dealer. This weekend's PTG is hosting the 5th annual Crappie Cranking Classic. All the PTGs. I'm going to get it right by the end of the week, guys, so just hang on. It's a family event, and the first 50 kids that are registered get rod and reel combos. Oh, that's sweet. For more info, call PTG Outdoors or check out their Facebook page. So that will be a lot of fun. It'll be a hot day for that 5th annual Crappie Cranking Classic. Crappie Cranking Classic. You should say that 5 times fast. It's not crappie day, but it is catfish day, which I think is kind of the same thing. If you can't catch crappie, you might as well catch catfish. We do a lot of that here in Mississippi. In honor of catfish day, I don't think anybody would say
little fish, big fish.
I know, fish.
Big fish.
It takes a lot of crappie to equal. I know one catfish.
Top feeder, bottom feeder.
Yeah, you got it right about that. Both delicious if battered and fried.
That's true.
That is true. Both delicious battered and fried. We can agree on that. So I am curious, though, when it comes to your catfish plate, like your fried fish plate, what is your preferred side combination? Because that changes for everybody. We learned from Brian Haydad, who hosts Thunder and Lightning podcast, that he's also doing the catfish tour presented by Superior Catfish, that he doesn't like sides. He likes just the fish being the main event. He also doesn't like sauces. So I'm starting to wonder about him as a human being all in general.
I mean, if I've gone somewhere where it's all you can eat catfish,
mm-hmm.
then it's probably going to be a little pricey because all you can eat catfish can get a little expensive. Then I might limit the number of sides I have just mm-hmm. to get the most bang for my buck for the catfish. But if it's just I got a catfish plate, comes with 2 or 3 fillets or 2 or 3 catfish fried, I really need, at the bare minimum, slaw
mm-hmm.
and either hush puppies or fries. I'll take both if you got both.
Mm-hmm.
That's just extra. But I got to have the slaw, and I got to have another something that
is your pusher?
Maybe fried, but isn't quite the same as the fish.
Is it your, like you need it? For, like, I always, like, I want my mama's hush puppies. Now, if we're somewhere else and I'm weary about your hush puppies, I'll go with the French fries. But if it's my mama's, then I'm going for the hush puppies for sure. In fact, I probably would like it better than the fish most of the time just because they're that, you know, famous around the small town. And anyway, I'm going to cut that. I want a little bit of the coleslaw, but I'm going to do the whole bite, like the whole, like the hush puppy kind of scoops up the coleslaw that then goes into the fit, you know, like it's a whole thing. So it feels weird having one sort of without the other, but you can get fried catfish on certain buffets that have like the whole vegetable spread. So it's like, depending on where you are and what you want, because there's some days where you have, like, it's catfish plate day, but then you can have your greens and your macaroni and cheese and your black-eyed peas and your cornbread, but instead of fried chicken, you're having the fried fish, and that's, like, a completely different experience. Most fish camps or fish houses, they're just offering you the coleslaw, the French fries, or the hush puppy. So it's like, where am I? Where am I in the world? Where is Wally? But the cool thing is you get to choose whichever one it is that you kind of like. I like both. But if I'm going to have fried fish, I need hush puppies to go along with them for it to feel like I've had the full sort of,
like it's not missing something.
Like it's not missing something, I guess. Yeah, instead of the cornbread. I don't mind them with collard greens either. I appreciate that. And a fresh onion. I mean, give me heartburn, but like, I've made worse choices in my life than just a fresh. Do you ever do that? Do you know, like, talking about getting older, like with music earlier on Good Things, you ever reach that stage where you're like, I know that this is going to give me heartburn, but I'm going for it. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm going to rebel it right out. Like, bring on the raw onion. It's going down and I'm going to enjoy it. And then 2 hours later, I'm going to be getting the antacids. But that's okay.
On the rare occasion I find an Indian buffet, very rarely will the proteins on the buffet be as mild as what you get. And I'm not bashful when it comes to spicy food, but I'm also not one of these masochists that's like, yeah, give me the Reaper. I just want to burn. I'm not one of those people, but I can handle spice. I will sit there and just eat a ton of spicy Indian food, knowing I'm going to regret it later because it tastes so good.
Yeah, that's what I feel like about a good onion with a good piece of fried catfish. I agree with Greg and Nettleton on that. All right, stick with us. We got more coming up next. You got the boys with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I'll meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.